والسلام على سيد المرسلين اما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاه والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى اليك وصحبه يا حبيب الله الصلاه والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى اليك وصحبه يا نور الله Alhamdulillah, there are a lot of people here today. And there's a lot of youngsters that are here that are going to be the parents of tomorrow. And there's a lot of parents that are here that hopefully have taken something from today. But when I look around me and I see that the youngsters that are here today, I pray for these youngsters. Because these youngsters are those youngsters that are going to take the beam forward. Our elders, they came to this country in the 50s, the 60s and the 70s. And alhamdulillah, they established beautiful masjids, beautiful centers. But now, this burden, this weight, is now coming onto the youth. And it's now the youth's responsibility to take the deen forward. So we need to pray for these youngsters that they can do this. And we pray that inshallah, through the efforts of these youngsters, that day will come when every corner of this country will follow the deen of Islam. But there is a slight problem. As I look around me, I see that the amount of youngsters that are here today are only a minority. They're only a minority of the youngsters that are just in this area alone. Where are the rest of the youngsters? What are the rest of the youngsters doing right now? One thing I can guarantee you is they're not preparing for a Salatul Maghrib. They're not at school. They're not at college. They're not at work, most of them anyway. Unfortunately, the majority of them will be wandering the streets. Now, I'm not going to start a beyond today and tell you what happens on the streets. You know that. And if you don't know that, then attend the weekly Ishtimaz of Dawud Islami and you'll find out what happens on the streets of this country. But what I want to talk to you today about is, what is the solution? How are we going to help these youngsters that are away from the deen of Islam? How are we going to help them youngsters that not only disrespect the parents, but also don't pray the salat? Don't fast during the month of Ramadan, commit all sorts of other sins. How are we going to help them? Whose responsibility is it to help the youth of today? I'll tell you whose responsibility is. It is our responsibility. It is your responsibility. It is your responsibility. It's everybody's responsibility here today. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, and I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman, O mankind, save yourselves and your family from that fire whose fuel is stones and human. It is our responsibility. It is our responsibility to save our family. It is our duty and our responsibility. But now the next question is, how do we do it? If we know that we've got to do it, the next question is how do we do it? How do we save ourselves? How do we save our family? You know, in this country, when a child is born, within minutes of the child being born, it's given a vitamin K injection. 2 months later, that same child is given diphtheria, tetanus, whooping cough, polio drops, and another 5-in-1 single jab. At 3 months, he's given a 5-in-1 second dose and a meningitis C vaccination. At 4 months, another 5-in-1 dose, a meningitis C second dose. Between 12 months and 13 months, a meningitis third dose, an MMR dose. And between 3 years and 4 years, an MMR second jab. Between the ages of 13 and 18, the child is given tetanus and polio booster again. What is all this? What are all these injections that our children are being given? These injections are vaccines to stop the child getting ill. But then if you think about it, that child is in an environment, he's at your home where it's clean. He's in your home where it's a very clean environment. He's not gone out into the world yet. He's not coming in front of them diseases yet. But what happens is we're given these vaccines, we immunize the child so that when that child goes out into the community, when them diseases approach him, he's immunized. He can face the world. He can face the diseases. But what about immunizing the soul? What about the vaccinations, the moral vaccinations that we need to give to our child? What are we doing to prevent our children being affected by them illnesses in the society that they are going to face when they leave home? When Shaitan is on every street corner, he's on our mobile phones, he's on the TV, he's on the internet. And these illnesses that affect our child, they may be illnesses that they'll never recover from. What are we as parents doing to protect our children? Alhamdulillah, Dawud Islami has arranged this gathering today. But what about all those children that are not here today? Where will they learn this? Again, they will learn this from their parents. We learn everything initially from our parents. There was a story about a person who had an old father. The father was quite ill, and he was up all night, and he was keeping the son and the rest of the family up all night. And the son himself, he never respected his father. He never really looked after his father. And he was getting kind of like fed up that his father, na'uzubillah, was ill. And he didn't want to look after his father. And one day he said to his father, he said, "Dad, come on, I'm going to take you out today." And the father was a bit surprised that he's never really cared for me before. What's happened today? And he said, "Okay, no problem." And he said, "Come on, we're going to go to the park." And the father says, "Well, I can't walk. You know, I'm ill, I can't walk." "No problem, Dad, I'll carry you on my shoulders." So the son was shocked that this son of mine, you know, he's never really cared for him. Now he's willing to carry me on the shoulders. So he carries his father on his shoulders, and he goes to the park. And as he's walking through the park, there's a river in the middle of the park. And when he gets onto the bridge of the river, he lifts his father off his shoulders, and he throws him into the river. Astaghfirullah. Many years later, when that same son who'd thrown his father into the river, when he got ill, one day his son said to him, "Dad, come on, I'll take you out. Dad, come on, I'll take you to the park." And he said to his son, "My son, I can't walk." "Don't worry, Dad, I'll carry you on my shoulders." And as that person who'd thrown his father into the river was now on the shoulder of his son, as he was going to this park and he was going towards the river, he said to his son, "My son, I know what you're going to do." And his son, Allah Sallam, was shocked. And he said, "Dad, how do you know what I'm going to do?" He said, "You're going to throw me in the river." And he said, "Dad, how did you know that? How do you know that I'm going to throw you in the river?" And he says, "Because I did that same thing to my dad." Now the son, he realized the error of his ways, and he took his father home and he cared for him. But the thing is that our children learn from us. If we don't respect our elders, how do we expect our children to respect us? We don't respect our elders, we don't respect our fathers, our grandfathers, and then we think our children should respect us. Where are the parents? What are the parents doing? Where is the father? In most cases, the father is busy working as hard as he can, doing double shifts, making as much money as possible. And what is he doing with that money? He's building a big bungalow back home. But what is the use of that money? What is the use of all of that money if your children are away from the deen? Parents need to spend time with their children. If you ask any parent, "Why are you making all this money?" If you ask them, "Why are you making all this money? You're working so hard." He says, I'm making this money for my children." But will your children actually value that money? That money that you've just given to your children, will they value it? There was a story about a person. He had a very expensive shawl, a really expensive shawl, and he had very cheap shoes. And he took off his shawl and started wiping his shoes, started cleaning the dirt on his shoes. And someone said to him, "What are you doing? You know, you've got a really expensive shawl and you're wiping the dirt on these cheap shoes." And he says, "These shoes was paid for from the money that I earned. And this shawl was from the money that my father gave to me." This is the value that they have of money. If they earn the money, they understand the value of it. But when it's given to them, they don't really understand it. In another sad case, the Mubaliks of Dawud Islami went to somebody's house whose father had passed away. And they went to this person and said to him, "You know, we're really sorry, afsosa." They read Fatiha for the father. And said to this brother that, "We're really sorry that your father's passed away." And you know what that young man replied to them? He said, "You say you are sorry, I'm not sorry. My father only left me £60,000. Allahu Akbar. So will they value this money that you leave for them? You may say, "Well, I'm saving up for the education." You may say, "Well, I'm saving up so that they can get married." You may say, "Well, I'm saving up all this money, I'm working so hard so I can put them on the property ladder."
My dearest friend, brothers, when a person is dying of thirst, he's really, really thirsty. You don't plan to build a well for him in 10 years in future. You give him the thirst then. You give him what he needs right then. Our children, yes, they might need that money for their education. Yes, they might need that money so that they can get married. Yes, they might need that money so they can get on the property ladder. But what do they need right now? They need our time, not our money. You may ask a child, well, what do you want? Do you want my money or do you want my time? And the child will say, no, give me my money, Dad. But we should know better. They need our time. They need our training. They need us to give them the moral vaccinations so that they can be the good Muslims of the future. And this is not just restricted to educating children about respecting elders. It is about all aspects of Islam. And we cannot pass these responsibilities on. We think that sometimes that, you know, we send our children to the madrasa. And we think that's our responsibility done. Our Islamic responsibility is now filled. I've sent him to the madrasa. I've even heard some parents say to the Imam Sahib, sort him out. He's causing trouble at home. We can't pass the book. We can't pass the responsibility on the others. On the Day of Judgment, we will be asked about the way our kids were brought up, not what the Imam Sahib did. It is our responsibility. As parents, we should get to know our kids better. We should know what our children like. We should know what our children dislike. And as parents, we need to set the example for the kids to follow. You expect your children to pray. You expect your children to read namaz and you don't read your namaz yourself. If twice a year you take your child to the masjid for Eid namaz and the rest of the year you forget it, do you think that child will grow up to be a five-time namazi? Once a week you hold your child's hand and you say, Beta, come on, we're going for Jummah today. He does ghusl, you put nice clothes on him, you take him for Jummah. He comes home, he changes his clothes. You don't read namaz, do you think he will grow up and he will be a namazi? But if you hold your son's hand at Fajr, said, come on son, we're going for Fajr. Come on son, we're going for Zuhur. Come on son, it's time for Asr. Come on son, there's only a little bit of time left for Maghrib. Come on son, only one more namaz, Isha, let's read Isha and then we can go to sleep. If you do that at a young age, if you take your child to the masjid with you 5 times a day, then inshallah when that child becomes independent, there is a good chance he will read the namaz. Children learn from you. That those children that are from England, they learn English. Those that are from Pakistan, they learn Urdu. Those that are from China, they learn Chinese. Those homes that talk about the Quran daily, they learn the Quran. But those children who swear at home, where do you think they pick it up? They pick it up from us. The language that we use at home, the abusive language that we use from home, they pick that up. So again, we need to be, you know, they just copy us. They will copy everything that we do. We expect our daughters at the age of 15 to wear a scarf, whereas the mother has never worn one. We have to be the example. They will copy us in every way. There was an instance where after one of the weekly ishtamas of Dawat Islami, a person approached the Muballik of Dawat Islami and said to him that he's worried about his son. He said to him that my son is in bad company. My son is involved in gangs. He's involved in drugs, he's involved in drugs dealing. And please, could you have a word with him? Now before I continue with the rest of this vakya, this incident, I just want to make a little point here. That so many times people come up to the Muballiks of Dawat Islami and say, here's my son, he's not a good lad. Can you do dua for him? Here's my son, he's not a good lad, can you do dam on him? Can you pook on him, yeah? Here's my son, he never listens to his mother. You know, sort him out. That's not the way. You know, you are shaming your son in front of you and you expect your child to respect you. You say to the Muballik, he's not a good lad. He's always home late. He drinks alcohol in front of him. You're disrespecting him. If you want somebody to help you, then go to them in private and say, look, you know, my son, please, can you help us? But when you in front of him disrespect him, how do you expect him to respect you? Anyway, in this particular case, the person, he called to the Muballik to one side and said, look, my son's in bad company. He's involved in drink, drugs, gangs. He's in fights every day. He's going to the police on a daily basis. Please help him. So the Muballik, he called that young lad, called him to his car, sat him down in the car, and told him everything that his father had said to him, and said to him, look, you know, son, your mother's obviously very concerned about you. You know, she'll be very concerned about you. She'll be very upset. Come on, sort yourself out. You know what the son said? He turned around and said, go and have a word with my father first.
Ask him, how many times has he been to jail for drug dealing? How many times has my father been drug dealing on the streets? How many times has my father gone to the police station? And he has the audacity to come and say to me?
There's no answer to that. There's no answer to that. We need to be the example.
As parents, another thing that we must learn is we must learn to start praising our child when he does something good and being serious and even angry when they're not. Now you may think we're all like that. You know, you always think that, okay, well, if a child does something good, we'll praise him, and if he does something wrong, we'll be angry with him. You know, if he gets good results, we'll be happy with him. If he gets bad results, we'll be angry with him.
But it's not as simple as that.
You'll be surprised, or maybe you won't be surprised, the number of parents who will laugh when they hear the child swear for the first time, especially when it's in another language. They'll laugh when the children have been cheeky to someone outside the house. The number of parents who will clap when their daughters are dancing and singing the first time. Then when that same child does something good, we don't praise them enough. If a child tries to copy his parents reading the namaz, sometimes that child gets told off. You're ruining my namaz. You're sitting on the janamaz. You're making a mess here. Get out of here. The child's trying to copy you. The child's trying to read his namaz with you. He can't read his namaz. He might just lie on his stomach. He might not do anything. But praise him. MashaAllah. You've read namaz with me better today. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. He'll learn to love the janamaz. But what do? We scold him. We tell him, get out of here. You're ruining my namaz. That same daughter, when she tries to get the scarf and put it on her, you know, you take, what are you doing with that scarf? You don't need to wear that scarf, and we'll rip it off her. But if at a young age, when your daughter tries to copy your mother, the mother, by putting the scarf on, she makes a mess of it. It's not really right. MashaAllah, Betty, you look so beautiful today. MashaAllah. You really look good in that dupatta. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. She'll feel happy. And this thing will become normal from them. But then what happens is again, when children do something wrong, we need to teach them as well. Make a child at a young age love the namaz. The first problem, however, is that as parents, we don't even pray our namaz ourselves. When a child learns a new surah, do we praise that child? Do we get angry when they have not read the namaz? Or do we get angry when they don't go to school? We need to think about this. When are the right times to praise a child? When are the right times to get angry with a child? Another thing that we need to do, we need to be our children's best friend. We need to get close to our children. Just recently, Dawud Islami was developing questionnaires for the staff of a certain department of Dawud Islami. And one of the questions that was in this questionnaire was, how do you deal with stress? If you're in a stressful situation, how would you deal with it? Ask yourself this question. How would you deal with it if you were in a stressful situation? One of the answers that was given, it was a beautiful answer. One of the answers that was given was, if I was in a stressful situation, I would go to my mum, as she always has the answers. Allah. Would our children, ask yourself, if our children have a problem, would they come to us? Would they come to us, our children, if they had a problem? If they wanted to know something, if they were stressed, if they were in a problem, would they come and see us? If they plucked up the courage to come and see us, would we actually give them the time? And if we had the time, would we try and answer them? Or would we even tell them off for asking a silly question? You know, Charlie might come home and he might say to you, Dad, girlfriends, what's it all about? Alcohol, are we allowed to have alcohol? Dad, what's wrong with drugs? Can I take drugs? My friends are doing it. And instead of giving that child the right answer, we tell the child off. We hit, in some cases, parents hit the child. And we just say, haram, haram, you can't do this, haram, haram. We don't explain the real Islamic answer to the child. We need to understand that the children today are different. The children from the Indian subcontinent, yeah, for them it was do or die, karo ya maro. Yeah? Either listen to me or you're going to get hit. That time's gone, it's not do or die now. The children of today, how and why, they want to know how, they want to know why I have to do this. Why can't I do this, why can't I do that? What's wrong with alcohol? Come on, I'll get you some. What's this about heroin? I'll get you some. Your friends, the friends of your children, unless they are very, very lucky children, they will not receive the Islamic answer. So it's our duty to provide them with the Islamic answer. In the same way that, as we mentioned at the beginning, medicine provides about prevention. It prevents diseases. Islam also prevents diseases. You'll be told in this country that extramarital affairs, relationships are okay as long as you take precautions. Islam says no. You will hear in this country, drink in moderation. Islam will say no. You will hear about drugs. If you're taking drugs, don't share needles. Islam will say no drugs. But this prevention will only come if we give the moral vaccinations, the knowledge and the upbringing to be able to avoid this. If we look at the 5 daily prayers, the Prophet ﷺ said, instruct your children to read the namaz at the age of 7. And if they don't read it by the age of 10, then scold the child. Why 3 years? Why was that 7-year instruction there? So that child can get the tarbiyah, the training, and prepare himself. For 3 years, it's not further upon him to read the namaz, but instruct your child to read the namaz, so that when it becomes further upon him, he reads the namaz regularly. There's a story about Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi ta'ala, that you've all heard. That when he traveled to Baghdad as a young man, and when the bandits stopped him, and tried to find the money on him, and when he went in front of the chief of the robbers, and explained to the chief of the robbers that I have the money here. And the chief of the robbers said, why didn't you just lie? Why did you not hide it from us? You could have kept that money. And he said, my mother made me promise that no matter what happens, son, never ever tell a lie. And this affected the robbers so much. It affected them so much that they all give up the evil ways. And he said that each and every one of them become a wali of their time. The words of the young man affected the bandit. And we need to tell our children these stories. We need to teach them to be honest. We should praise and reward our children when they are honest. For example, when something in your home is broken, something's broken in your home, a vase is broken, a glass is broken, and you know the children are playing there, and you go into the room and you say to the children, who broke this? Now the children are normally so scared. They don't want to tell you because they know they're going to get told off. They know they might get hit. They're so scared of saying anything. But if you have this relationship with your child, if you have this understanding with your child and say, beta, come on, tell me the truth. Don't worry, you won't be in trouble as long as you tell the truth. And when that child puts his hand up and says, dad, it was me. You don't tell up the child now. Because now he's being honest. You say to the child, my son, please don't do it again, but today I'm happy with you. Why am I happy with you? Because you told the truth. But if you have a relationship with your child, where the child realizes he's going to get in trouble, he'll say, no, I didn't do it. And he'll get away with it. And then he'll think, this is good. Lying's good. I got away with it. We need to build this relationship with our child. We need to make sure our children understand that telling the truth is good. But again, the children will learn off us. The children will learn off us. If we tell our children to be honest, if we tell our children not to lie, and yet our children see us lying. Our children see us doing credit card frauds, insurance frauds, credit claim frauds, and we're doing all these frauds. Do you think our children are going to think, well, you know, my dad's saying don't lie. Look, what are you doing? Look what he's doing. As parents, another thing that we need to do is we need to know who our children's friends are. It's okay saying that, oh, he's at such a buddy's house. But who is that child? Do we know where they spend their time? You know, when I was young, my father always asked me, wherever I used to go, he always asked me, whose house are you at? And I used to tell him. And then he used to say to me, what's the name of his father? And I couldn't understand this. My father always asked me these questions. You know, you're at Ali's house, what's Ali's father's called? You're at Abdullah's house, what's Abdullah's father's called? And I couldn't understand it. I used to get frustrated that my dad's asking me all these questions. And then I remember one day he said to me, don't go to that house. Now, I was angry, but thankfully I listened to my father, and I didn't go to that person's house. What was my father doing? I understand now. I didn't understand then. My father was looking out for me. My father was making sure that I'm in the right environment, that I'm not going to those places where I could get up to no good. He was looking out for me. Do we know where our children are? You will say, well, my son's sensible. He's a mature. He won't be affected wherever he goes. He's so strong, he's got a strong character. Wherever he goes, he'll be all right. But I can tell you an example of a 35-year-old, not your son who's 15, 16, a 35-year-old, who when the Mubaliks of Da'at Islami approached him and said to him, look, where you are going now, these houses that you are going to, these relatives that you are going to, they're heroin addicts. Don't go there. And he turned around and said, do you think I'm stupid? I'm 35 years old. I've got 3 kids. Do you think I'm going to take heroin? Then one day what happens? He has a bad day at work. He comes home and the kids are crying. His wife gives him a bit of a hard time. He goes to his cousins and he's in a foul mood. And one of his cousins gives him a cigarette and he takes it. And he becomes a heroin addict. The company that we keep. As parents, we need to instill love and pride for Islam into the hearts of our children. Tell them stories about the prophets of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions, the wives of the prophet. Teach them to take an interest in their deen and make them proud. This is a very important point. Make them proud to be a Muslim. It's easy to blame society. Oh, society is bad. The society is really bad at the moment. But what is society? We are society. Each and every one of us is society. And we as parents, we are preparing the society of the future. What does the future society know about the Quran and Sunnah? What does the future society know about the morals of Islam? What does the future society know about the beautiful character of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What do our children know about Islam? We can ask our children about football, we can ask them about films, and they'll tell you a lot. But ask them about the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they won't be able to tell you much. But then again, we get angry when our child does not go to school. But when the child doesn't go to madrasa, never mind. We get angry if our child doesn't do his homework. But when the child doesn't get up for fajr, never mind, I didn't get one myself. We blame the situation on others as well. This is another habit that we have. Our child has become a druggie, it's because of him and his fault. We blame others. Our child has got a girlfriend, it's his fault. He drinks alcohol, it's his fault. But what about us? What did we do? Did you prepare your child for the society he was going to face? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, seek education from the cradle to the grave. What does this mean? From being a small child, the child is to be trained. The child is to be prepared to be part of the Muslim community. You never enter a race without training. Why are you going to let your children enter the world? You might say, well, it's hard. It's impossible. It's really hard nowadays to make my child a namazi. It's really hard nowadays. You don't understand. You're standing up there doing a beyond. You don't understand how hard it is to make your children a namazi. There are many mubaligs here of Dawat Islami. If you ask them, when you go out on the streets, when you do ilaqai dora and you meet people or you talk to people, and you ask them to name the sins that our Muslims are committing, they could probably write a whole book on it. But there's one sin that personally I've not come across. Maybe the mubaligs here say, yes, brother, we've come across this sin. And that is the sin of eating pork. I've not come across any Muslims that eat pork. Why? Because from a young age, that child has been told that this is horrible. This is dirty. The children of today, they won't even say the word, they'll go P-I-G. They think it's so horrible to say that word, they won't even say it. So you'll see the children of today, they won't even go, when there's a shop that's selling it, they'll walk the other side of the road. They won't smell it, they won't look at it, they won't do anything with it, they won't touch it. Where did that come from? Where did that mentality come from? It came from the tarbiyat of the parents. So if them parents can put a hatred of pork in the child, can't they put a hatred of alcohol in the child? Can't they put a hatred of adultery in the child? Can't they put a hatred of drugs in the child? Can't they put a love of the sunnah in the child? Can't they put a love of the namaz in the child? Yes, they can. But it's whatever we prioritize in our lives. So we need to make a change. Because if we don't start changing and preparing our children for the future, then we might be that person that's thrown in the river. We're seeing around this country now that old people homes, specifically for Muslims, are being opened. In America, which is far worse than over here, people take their parents. You know, when I read this, I couldn't even believe it. They take the parents that have got dementia, who can't think, who can't speak, and they'll take the parents and they'll go onto the highway, the equivalent of our motorways, they'll open the door, they'll put the father on the wheelchair, leave him there, close the door and drive off. This is happening. We need to prepare our children. We need to teach our children stories about Islam. Get them heroes to look up to. Teach them to be proud of who they are. I said before, this is very important. Our children need to be proud of who they are. You are the best of creation. You are the ummah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Be proud of who you are. And that pride needs to come through.
When they're at school, when your child is at school, and someone comes up to him, and it'll happen. It will happen. When someone comes up to your child and offers him a cigarette, offers him some alcohol, or offers him an invite to a party, is your child strong enough and proud enough and say, I'm a Muslim, we don't do that. I'm a Muslim, we don't drink alcohol. I'm a Muslim, we don't smoke this stuff. I'm a Muslim, we don't go to these parties. Does your child have that pride inside him? We need to put this pride inside our children. They are the future of Islam. They need this pride inside them. They need to realize how lucky they are. Instead of making excuses in front of people, you are amongst the best ummah. You are the best of creation. You have the best person as your guide in the form of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So my dear Islamic brothers, we're here. We're here where we are now. And as we've heard today, the situation of examples of the influence of friends, we've heard about the importance of respecting our parents. My dear Islamic brothers, if you spent 3 days with that same Abulika Dawat Islami, if you travel in a Madri Kafla and spent 3 days in the house of Allah azza wa jal, what would you learn? You're here for a few hours, and I hope that you've learned something. I hope that you can take away something, but we need to make a change. We need to learn not just the aspects of respecting our parents, not just the aspects of bringing up our children, but we need to make a change in ourselves. Dawat Islami has the Madri Kaflas. We also have the Madrasatul Madinas where you can go and send your children. And in our Madrasatul Madinas, you're not just learning how to read Quran as well. You're learning the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You're learning how he lived his life as well. You're getting moral vaccinations when you come to the Madrasatul Madinah. Dawat Islami also holds courses. Speak to your zimadars and attend these courses. Jamiatul Madinah, there are many students here that are attending our Jamiatul Madinah, and they're going to be the future scholars of Islam. In years to come, we will have English-speaking scholars in this UK. This is all through the qurbani of these young lads that are studying so hard. Darul Madina, Dawat Islami has a schooling system as well. We started in the nurseries and the primary schools. These are all set up to give our youngsters the tools to fight shaitan, the weapons to safeguard their iman. They're all there for us. If you want to make a change in yourself, a change in your family, then attach yourself to the mahal of Dawat Islami. In conclusion, to the fathers that are here, remember your deen and not just the pound sign. Remember your responsibility. It is your responsibility to bring up your children. Remember this. Rather than giving your children £1 million, give them the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather than giving them a load of property, give them the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That money that you give them will disappear. But if you put the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their hearts, then you will see the benefit not only in this world, but you'll see the benefit in the hereafter as well. To the mothers, a message to them, that you are the first university. Learn about the deen and pass on this deen and teach love to the deen. To the young brothers that are here today, learn about the deen. Associate yourselves with those people who follow the deen. If you associate yourselves with brothers who pray, for example, if you don't read your namaz, let's say you read your namaz. You're a good lad. You read your namaz 5 times a day. But the people that you hang out with, they don't read the namaz. You go playing football, and the time for namaz approaches, and you say, come on, I'm just going to read my namaz. And your friend says to you, no, come on, you know. Because you're going to read your namaz, you're going to mess up the game for us. Can't you miss one namaz? You can read it later, can't you? Miss one namaz for us. You know, you're such a close friend of mine, miss one namaz. What happens? You miss one namaz. Then you start missing 2 namazes, 3 namazes, 4, 5, and you become like your friends. But if, for example, you don't read your namaz, and all your friends read namaz, and you go playing out football or whatever you do, the time for namaz comes and they stop. And they say, we're stopping playing now, we're going to the masjid. Do you want to come? And you make the standard excuses, my clothes are dirty, I can't come. And you make all these excuses that you can't come to the masjid. The first time, the second time, the third time, and then you think to yourself, rather than me standing outside of the masjid, I might as well go inside and read my namaz as well. So because of the people that you associate with, it will affect you. So the youngsters today, remember, look at who your friends are. Look at who you associate with. Bring yourselves closer to the deen. Finally, in this particular bayan that we mentioned today, we've talked a lot about the responsibilities of the parents. But as we heard at the beginning, Allah Azza wa Jal puts the emphasis on the respect of parents. And we must respect our parents no matter what. Even if we think in our minds that maybe our parents haven't given us the right tarbiyat. My father didn't teach me this. My father didn't teach me that. We still must respect our parents.
And if you think to yourself, well, my father, he came from a village back home. He doesn't understand what I'm going through. He doesn't understand my problems.
Doesn't matter. You still must respect your parents. You still must respect and love your parents. They don't understand you, so what? They might not have given you tarbiyat, so what? You still must respect your parents.
So if you take something away from today, take it this, that you must respect and love your parents. Ask the brothers here, there'll be many here who have lost their parents, who have lost their father, lost their mother, and he will tell you.
Once you've lost your father, then you'll realize. Once you've lost your mother, then you'll realize. But then it's too late. If you want to make a change, make a change now. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if I've said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that Allah give me and you the tawfiq to think about what I've said and to act upon what I've said. Ameen bi jahin nabi lamin.
Mubalik for you is my prayer. Mubalik for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success. Share.